It was the great LL Cool J who said, "Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years." I believe that God is setting the church up and us up for a great comeback. He's ready for us to come back to a place where we are putting him first in every area of our life. He wants us to come back to a place where we're teaching our children that we must honor the Lord with our time, our talent, our treasure. Come back to a place where we are lifting him up. The word says if we lift him up, that he would draw all men unto himself. And it's time for us to come back to a place where we are putting God back at the center of our life and our focus. Church, I believe God is setting us up for a comeback. It's time for us to rise back up to our greatest calling. Look at this. Our setbacks are going to be our setups to rise up. See, every time we have a setback, it's God setting us up for a chance to rise back up, a place for to have a reset time in our life, a time for us to reevaluate and say what's really important, what do I need to do to get God first in my life, to put God back at the top of my life. It's time for us to set ourselves back up as we prepare for our comeback. The churches are across the nation are preparing to come back in many places. The churches are reopening back up. And as we come back, what will change in our life? What will change in our church? I like what Paul had to say with these inspiring words in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do," he goes, "I forget my past. I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward to what lies ahead, and I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." See, we got to look past our past, and it's time for us to rise up, to put our eyes ahead to what Jesus is calling us to do, and to press on. You see, all of us have a past. All of us have things in our life that we've made mistakes, but we can't live there. We don't stay there. We rise out of that mess and we go forward. This is what the grace of God does. It allows us to move beyond our mistakes and our failures and to press on in Christ Jesus. And today, I want you to rise up and I want you to put your eyes straight at Jesus and say, "I'm moving forward. I'm not going to stay here. This is not a place for me to live. I am moving forward and preparing myself for the next season." Paul says, "I want you to rise up, keep running. I want you to finish strong." So how do we do this? How do we rise back up as a church? How do we rise back up as individuals, preparing ourselves to press forward? First of all, I want you to write this down. We've got to rise up with our words. Rise up with your words. I love this story where Jesus and his disciples are crossing over. And a big storm comes, and Jesus is asleep, and his disciples start to panic. Let's pick it up in Matthew chapter 8. It says, "And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and they woke him, saying, 'Save us, Lord, we are perishing.' And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?' Then he rose up, he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." See, Jesus speaks to the storm, and things get calm. Have you ever thought about this? I believe that Jesus didn't have to speak to the storm to calm the storm. I mean, Jesus could have just barely woken up and been like, you know, he could have just gave a direction without saying a word. He had that kind of power. He could have just motioned. He could have just thought it, and it would have happened. He had that power to do that. But there was a reason why he arises up and he speaks to the storm. He was trying to teach us and his disciples how to speak to the storms in our life. See, we got to realize this. We have been given the power to speak to the storms that arise in our life. You have the power. I have the power to speak to any storm that comes against us. And we got to learn to use that power to calm the storms in our life. Our words will either add fuel to the fire, They'll either add to the storm or they will calm the storm. I remember when our twins were born, they were surprises. And when our twins came along, when they were born, our baby boy was born, and he was born with a bilateral cleft palate and lip. And we didn't know this in advance because they were twins. The doctor was trying to keep us calm, and he was telling us as he was delivering them, okay, we have a bilateral cleft palate and lip. It's going to be okay. There'll be some surgeries involved, but we'll get him looking to normal. And they pull him out, and of course, he's got two holes in his lip and his gums going all the way back through the roof of his mouth. And it was something we were not ready for. And I tried to stay calm for my wife's sake, but she said, I could see it all over your face that something was greatly wrong. And we go in and we're in shock at first. And then they hand you a pamphlet that's about 15 years old and out of date. It says, it's okay, read this, it'll be okay. And you open it up and you read this and you're like, this is not normal. This is not okay. This is what I was screaming inside. This is not normal and this is not okay. And they're trying to keep me calm, but everybody around me is kind of like in a little panic and things are happening. And it wasn't until that evening when everybody had left and the doctors had left and my wife had went back to sleep that I was able to find a place in my spirit. And I remember crying out to the Lord that night, and I just began to pray and I began to speak over my life and over my family. And I just remember the peace of the Lord coming and flooding that hospital room, and my attitude changed, my heart changed. It was about me speaking to the storm, and my words calmed the storm, and they prepared me. So the next morning when my family came and my children came and my wife was awake, I was able to navigate this through with them and take them through this in a peaceful way with confidence and faith that God was going to work this out. It's going to be okay. And of course he did, and everything worked out fine. But at that time, I was in a panic. At that time, it seemed like I don't know what's going to happen. But I began to speak to my storm. And listen, every time in our life, there comes a time when you got to learn to speak to your storm. You got to learn that you got to stand up and just say, I've got to calm the storm with the words that Jesus has given me. And I speak those words out over my life, over my family, over my children, and I can calm the storm that we face in our lives. See, Proverbs 18:21, it's a famous verse. We quote it all the time around here at Destiny. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We have the power to speak life to our situation. And it's time for our words to rise up, begin to speak life. Things will get better. Things are going to be great again. Things are going to come around. God, you're going to be glorified. And we begin to speak those words with confidence. See, we got to rise up our words. You can lift your marriage with your words. Are you speaking life or are you speaking death to your marriage? You can lift your children with your words. Are you raising them up, building them up with your words, or are you tearing them down? You can lift up your health with your words. You can lift up your business, your job with your words. Listen, sometimes you just gotta stand up and prophesy over yourself. This is not gonna last forever. This storm is gonna fade, and I believe there's gonna be a great time of harvest again. Speak up with boldness. Speak to your storm today. Rise up your words. And I promise you, if you raise your words up, other things begin to follow. Number two, I want you to write this down. It's time for us to rise up our posture. Rise up our posture. John 5, look at this in verse 5 through 8. Jesus was coming to a point where he was seeing a man crippled by the pool. And one of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. Talking about being in a storm. 38 years, this man had been paralyzed, lying by the pool. And when Jesus saw him, he knew he had been ill for a long time. And he asked him, do you want to be healed? I can't, sir. That's what the man said. For I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me. And Jesus told him, stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. You see, Jesus asked him the question, and I think it's a very obvious question, do you want to be healed? I mean, he asks us that question. Isn't it kind of obvious? Of course, the man wants to be healed. He's there by the pool waiting for the waters to be troubled because they believe if he can make it into the waters first, then he will receive the healing. But today he asked that question. It's very obvious. Of course he wants to be healed. But he wanted this man to verbalize it. And I believe he, at some point in our life, he asked us the same question. Are you tired of being paralyzed by your anxiety, by your fear? Are you tired of being paralyzed by your past mistakes? Do you want to be healed? Then today's your day. Jesus is here. Jesus is here to transform your life. And he asked this man, do you want to be healed? And notice what the man says. He doesn't say, yes, I want to be healed. He says, well, I have nobody to put me in. Immediately, the man starts making excuses of why he's not healed. And I wonder for us, how many of us do the same thing? Instead of coming to Jesus, say, Jesus, I'm ready to be healed. Jesus, I'm ready to change. Jesus, I'm ready for an outcome to be different in my life. We start making excuses for why we're there. Well, I was raised this way. Well, this happened against me. This abuse came and this happened in my past. And we have all these excuses of things that happened to us. Instead of forgetting what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, it's time for us to quit making excuses and say, Jesus, I'm ready to be healed. Are you ready to rise up today? Isn't it amazing that Jesus asked this man to do the one thing he couldn't do on his own? He said, rise up, sir. Change your posture. You see, for many of us, this is simply lifting up our head and raising our posture, raising our hands to the Lord. Say, God, I surrender all of my life to you. God, I give you all of my problems. Jesus, I'm tired of carrying this alone and surrender my life fully, surrendering every burden I have, surrendering every dream I have, surrendering my past to Jesus, changing my posture is a place of worship. Stop making excuses for your storm. Stop making excuses for why you're paralyzed and start putting your posture, your eyes upon the one who can change you forever. His name is Jesus. See, sometimes we are paralyzed by our excuses, but I don't care what it takes. You got to move forward. He said, I want you to forget the things that have kept you down. I want you to strain to go forward. Sometimes you're paralyzed and you can't do anything. Sometimes you feel like you can't walk. Then you gotta, sometimes you just learn to roll, man. This man, I wish he just would have rolled over. He did anything possible to get to the pool. Stop making excuses. Sometimes it seems that way that you can only crawl, but you crawl and then you can walk. And then once you walk, you can run. Stop making excuses. Make your way to Jesus. Today's your day. Run to Jesus. Today's your day. Change your posture to Jesus. Today's your day. Rise up and say, Jesus, I need you. And number three, I want you to write this down. I want you to rise up your perspective. Rise up your perspective. If you think you are defeated, you're already defeated. If you think you're defeated, you're already defeated. My son and I were having this conversation the other day, and it's a mindset. When you go into a game thinking that you're gonna lose, you've already lost. And usually the difference between winning teams, traditional winning teams who win a lot of championships, and those who don't, it's not really the talent level. There is sometimes some talent level difference, but really the talent is really close. The difference is certain teams believe and think they can win, and so they go in believing they're going to win, and that translates to winning. And so in our life, we got to change our perspective. We got to realize that God has called us to press on. God has called us to win. Jesus had a good friend who died by the name of Lazarus. And this man died, and his good friends wept, and they cried because Jesus wasn't there, and he showed up late. It was like 4 days later after he died, Jesus got there. Let's pick up the story in John chapter 11. And Jesus, he was deeply moved. Again, as he arrived at the tomb, a cave of a stone rolled across its entrance. And Jesus told them, roll the stone aside. But Martha, the dead man's sister, said, Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. By now, the smell is going to be terrible. And Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that if you would just believe and see God's glory? So they rolled the stone aside. And then Jesus looked up to the heavens and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of these people standing here so that they would believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out. His hands and his feet were bound in the grave clothes, his face wrapped in the headcloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap this man and let him go. And I love this story. It's an incredible story. Not only does Jesus raise a dead man back to life, showing that not only did he have the power to be resurrected after 3 days, but he could speak to the dead. And in our lives, many times it seems that way, that we have dead dreams. We have things that happen in our life that feel like, man, I've blown it. My past has made me dead. My past mistakes, my past failures. God could never use me again. I can never have people love me again. I can never be accepted again. And I want you to know this is the beauty of what the Savior does for us, because he looks into the dark places in our life and he calls out the new life. He calls out and says, rise up, rise again. And I love this story because this man was wrapped in traditional grave clothes, which meant this. Remember, they didn't unwrap him until he got out. So I want you to use your imagination here, but two things happened. This man was wrapped up tightly in grave clothes, mummified, you know? So either maybe you believe he hopped out, but I believe that as soon as Jesus spoke, that man elevated. As soon as he spoke the words, Lazarus elevated and came right out to him. You see, today I want you to know that as soon as Jesus speaks to our life, things begin to elevate. Things begin to change. And I want you to know that it's time for us to rise back up. Stop living a dead man's dream. Stop living a place of past mistakes that have kept you dead to your dreams, kept you dead to your calling, kept you dead to hope. Today, God wants to speak new life to you. He wants to speak new life to your marriage. He wants to speak new life to your family. He wants to speak new life and a calmness to your storm. He is speaking to you and I today. And this is the great thing. As long as Jesus is our coach, we are never out of the game. There is always momentum on our side when Jesus speaks to us. And we got to change our posture. We got to change our perspective. I'm never out of it. Jesus, you are for me. Who can be against me? So I want you to get your eyes off of the natural, and I want you to get your eyes on the supernatural. That Jesus is in my game with me. He's in my life with me. Raise up your perspective today. Listen, you're doing better than what you think. You're listening today. You're tuning in today. You're reaching out. You're opening your heart and you're saying, God, I need something different. Some of you, you're listening for the first time. You're listening online, and I don't know where you're at, but I know you're listening, and God had planned for you to listen today, for you to hear this word, that he sees you. He has not forgotten you. And today he's calling you out of that dead place in your life, and he's saying, I want you to rise back up. It just takes a little momentum. I've seen games switch around just with a little momentum, and all of a sudden, attitudes change. Players start lifting their head up. They start believing they can win again, and they spark a great comeback because of just a little momentum. And today, just a little momentum toward Jesus can change your life for eternity. He's ready to speak momentum back into your life. He's ready to speak momentum back into your storm. You got to stand up, raise up your words, speak to your storm. I want you to change your posture. God, I give up to you. God, I worship you. God, I surrender everything in my life to you. And then I want you to change your perspective. God, I'm raising up my perspective. God, if you are for me, who can be against me? The battle belongs to the Lord. I am his child. He's fighting my battles for me. And he's going to cause all things to work together for good. If I just believe in him and follow him. Listen, I want you to look now to Jesus. I want you to speak now to Jesus. I want you to surrender now to Jesus. Right where you're at this morning, begin to surrender everything to Jesus. Every storm in your life, I surrender to you. Every past mistake, I surrender to you. Every great problem you're facing, God, I surrender it to you today. I give it to you today. It's time for you to change, and he's wanting to do something in your life. So I'm going to speak right now to you. As you listen to me today, I pray over you in the name of Jesus. I pray that this is your time to rise up. Through every storm, that you would rise up. Through every problem, you would rise back up. Through every failure, you would rise back up. Today's your day of momentum. Today's your day when Jesus comes and he speaks to you and you move to him and say, God, I'm ready to surrender. I'm not staying here, but I surrender every part of my life to you in Jesus' name. Today, I'm going to come back and close us with a time of prayer. But first, I want you to now just begin to meditate on the Lord as the praise team leads us in another time of worship. Amen. Today, I'm so glad that you're here. I want to pray with you. If you're here and you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, today's your day to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to simply repeat this prayer after me as you give your life to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for forgiving me and my sins on the cross and for dying for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, welcome to the family of God. We would love to hear from you. Please send us a message either on Facebook or to our website at mydestinychurch.com. Let us know that you made a decision to follow Christ today. We would love to hear from you. We're excited about coming back together soon in a few weeks. Make sure you're watching our website and our Facebook page for details as we unpack that and announce those announcements and let you know exactly the schedule as we come together over the next few weeks. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you soon.